So tonight's shir is on this week's parsha, which is Parsha Shmos, and the title of the shir tonight is Moshe Escapes Death. I want to take up the area in which, it's a very cryptic area, in which it seems like Moshe might have died earlier than accomplishing his mission, and it comes in this week's parsha. It's very odd and very cryptic. We're going to try to explain it on a deeper level. I want to look at really Rabbeinu Chananel. He's going to be one of the main sources. And he's quoted by Rabbeinu Bechaya and also Rashi. Rashi has two different approaches based on the Gemara. So if we look in source number one, I'm gonna go back and give a little bit of context, and then we'll address the area. So if you look in Shmos Parak Dalet Pasuk Yud Ches, I'm gonna read through the Pesukim. It says Vayelach Moshe Vayashav El Yasser Chosno Vayomer Lo Elcha No Vayashuva Elachai Asher B'Mitzrayim Ve'er'eh Ha'udam Chayim Vayomer Yisrael Moshe Leich L'Shalom. Moshe was given the green light, he was given all the osos, the signs, and he was told by Hashem that he was going to be the shliach. And Moshe goes back to his father-in-law, Yisro. He says, I'm going to go to Mitzrayim and see if my brethren are still alive. And Yisro says to Moshe, go in peace. So Yisro endorses Moshe's mission. And we're in Yud Tes, source number one. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe b'minyan aleich shuv Mitzrayim ki mesu kol ha'an Hashem hamvakshim es nafshecha. And now Hashem says to Moshe, go back to Mitzrayim from Midian. All the people who wanted to kill you, meaning Paro and all of his officers, they've all died. And now you should go back to Mitzrayim and accomplish your mission to bring Bnei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Vayikach Moshe es ishto ves banav vayikivim al chamor vayoshav arzo Mitzrayim vayikach Moshe es matei ha'elokim biado. Moshe takes his wife and his children, he puts them on a donkey, and he goes back to Mitzrayim, and he brings the staff of Hashem with him. We're in Chaf Aleph. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, v'lech techol ashub Mitzrayim, re'e kol amovsim asher samti biyadecha, v'asisam lifnei paro, v'ani achazek es libo, v'lo yishalach es ha'om. Hashem says to Moshe, basically the plan is that you're going to go to Mitzrayim, and you're going to do the movsim for Paro, but Hashem is going to harden Paro's heart, and he will not send the nation out. You will say to Paro, this is what Hashem says, my firstborn, Klal Yisrael. And you're going to say, send my children to serve me, meaning Hashem, and he's going to prevent you from doing that. He's not going to send you out. And now I'm coming to kill your firstborn. Now look in Chaf Dalet. Vayhi baderech b'malon, vayifgesheu Hashem, vayivakesh hamisol. It was on the path to the inn, a malon, which was the inn. Vayifgesheu Hashem. He was met by Hashem. Hashem met him, and he wanted to kill him. Vatikach tziporo tzor, vatichros es orlas binah, vatagol l'raglav, vatomer ki chasan damim atali. Tzipora, she takes a stone, a sharp stone, and she cuts off the foreskin of her son, she throws it to his legs, and she says, the bridegroom of blood, you were for me. Vayiref mimenu, oz amra chasan damim lamulos. And then there was an easing off, oz amra, and then she says, chasan damim lamulos. This is the bridegroom of blood concerning mila, concerning circumcision. I really want to address the chaf dalet, chaf hei, chaf vav. What exactly is going on in this piece, in this small piece? Once again, Moshe is given the green light. He's told to go back to Mitzrayim. Yisro says he can go to Mitzrayim. Hashem gives him a whole plan as to what to do when he gets to Mitzrayim. And then there's this very cryptic piece where we're not sure who's in this, what's going on here. But there's some type of encounter with Hashem. Somebody is going to be killed. And Tzipora, she saves the day. She cuts off her son's foreskin and she says, Ki chasan damim atali. And I just want to understand, I mean, the main question is what's going on here? What's the purpose of the story in the Torah at this point? And who's trying to be killed here? What's going on? What's the nature of the story? It's very, very cryptic. And it's very hard to understand without the Rishonim, without some insight into what's going on here. So that's the main question. So we'll look at, anybody have any other questions? Any more specific questions? I think another question also is that there seems to be a redundancy of the fact that Tzipora says Chasan Damim, and she says it again. So why is that necessary? Why is it necessary for Tzipora to give this statement of ki chasan damim atali? And later on in Chavav she says the same thing. Az amra chasan damim lamulos. What's the purpose of this? Of the Torah telling us this whole story? So let's look in.
What
did you say?
What is
Vayaraf
or whatever?
Vayiref mimeno means that.
What does that mean?
It means that he eased off from him. We're going to explain what that means. It's kind of cryptic.
Who is he? Hashem eased off from him? Or?
Yeah, Hashem, the Malach. It's Hashem, really. Yeah, Hashem eased off of him, and then she said, Azam Racha Sandam Imamulos. We'll see what it means.
I also have to understand that.
Okay. Yes. somebody else had a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think I understand the whole thing of first Moshe argues with Hashem that he shouldn't go, and Hashem says that you're going to be, I think Hashem says you're going to be successful, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, and then now he's trying.
Give us a no.
Yeah, so what's going on here? It seems like he's going to be killed at this point. So if he was told before that he was going to be successful, what happened? What changed? Right? Good question. Okay, excellent. So I couldn't put it in. I'd have to cut and paste, and I didn't have time to cut and paste. But I'll read it inside. Rabbeinu Chananel, and he's also quoted by Rabbeinu Bechaya, gives us the first approach. And I'll read it inside. It says, Vayhi baderech b'malon vayifgesheyu Hashem. Moshe lo haya sham b'malon. So Rabbeinu Chananel says that Moshe was not at this inn. Ki chein hiskir l'mala, because it's mentioned above in the psukim, Vayikach Moshe es ishtov es banav vayarkivim al hachamor. That Moshe already, he took his wife, Tzipora, and took his children, Gershom and Eliezer, and he put them on a donkey. Ubir ha-pasuk, and Moshe wasn't there in this whole story. Ubir ha-pasuk, sheshalach osam lefanav. The explanation is that Moshe sent his wife and his kids in front of him. Ve'achar kach vayashav Mitzrayimah, and Moshe left them, and he went to Mitzrayim. Ve'chevon shechein, lo haya Moshe ata b'malon. And because of this, Moshe was not with them. So Rabbeinu Chananel is learning that Moshe's not here in the story. It's just Tzipora and the two boys. And what happened was that Moshe sent them in front, and he went back to Mitzrayim. The Amar vayivakesh hamiso. Now he's going to fill in the blanks, Rabbeinu Chananel. What's going on? Klomar lanar lanar. Who was going to be killed? It was the nar. It was Eliezer. Shahaya hamalach nase kemin nachash. This malach, when it says vayifgesheyu Hashem, it's a reference to the malach, was made into the appearance of a snake. Ubolo merosho v'ad yerechov. And it swallowed up Eliezer from his head all the way down to his waist. V'chazar ubolo meraglo v'ad makum hamila. And then also it went back and it swallowed him up from his feet all the way up to his foreskin. V'oz, and at that point, v'atikach tzipora tzor. Tzipora took the stone. Ki hevina shahaya ha'onesh al she'ichra zman ha'mitzvah, velo mala oso b'yom shmini. She understood that this onesh was coming about because the time of Mila had been delayed, and she hadn't been velo mala osa. She didn't do the Mila oso to him b'yom shmini at the proper time on the eighth day. So to summarize, what's Rabbeinu Chananel saying? Moshe was not involved in the story. Moshe sent Tzipora ahead of him. And Tzipora was alone with the two children, with the two boys, and she saw a malach. A malach appeared as a snake, and the snake swallowed up Eliezer from the top down and from the bottom up, and the point of the mila, his mila was revealed. She understood at that point that the reason for this onesh, the reason why this child was being killed, was because mila was not done by her at the appropriate time, and immediately she cut off the foreskin, she throws it down, and then she says, Chasan damim lamulos. Does that help us at all? Well, there's two real questions, I think, on Rabbeinu Chananel to try to understand what he means over here and how he's explaining the story. One question, I think, is a more subtle question, but I actually think opens up the area, which is, really, who's Chayav in Mila? Who's Chayav in Mila in general? Who has the primary Chiyav of Mila?
The father,
right. The father has a primary chiyuv of Mila. Is a woman chayev in Mila to do Mila to her child? No, she's not. She's actually not chayev. A woman can do Mila, but she's not chayev to do Mila. Look in number 3 in the Rambam. This is a basic halacha. It's Hilchos Mila, Perak Aleph, Halacha Aleph. Mila mitzvos aseh shechayevin aleha kares. Milah is a mitzvah saseh where you chayv karis if you don't do milah. Shneamar v'arel zachar asher lo yimol es besar olaso v'nechorsa nefshahim amel. If a person, once he's an adult, if he hasn't done milah, so he's chayv karis. U'mitzvah ala av lomol es bino v'al harav lomol es avodav. The mitzvah is upon the father, and the mitzvah is also upon the master to do the milah to his servants. Avar ha'av ho'adon v'lo maloson bital mitzvah saseh. If the father or the master do not do milah, they are mevatel, they nullify the mitzvah saseh. Ve'enu chayv karis, but they're not chayv karis. She'enu karis talui ela ba'aril atmo. The person who is chayv karis is the boy. Ubeistin mitzuvin lomoloso haben o aved bizmano v'lo yanichu arel b'yisro v'lo ba'avdehen. And if they don't do it, if the father or the master, the rab, don't do it, then the beistin is chayv to do it, because they can't allow for arelim to be in Yisro. So what is this? Why am I bringing this Rambam in? Because you see that the chiyuv and the mitzvah is really on the father, and the onesh is really on the child, but there's no mention of the mother. So it seems strange to me that Rabbeinu Chananel is pointing out that Tzipora, I'll read it inside again. It says, "Vatikach Tzipora tsor ki hevina shaya onesh al sheichra zman hamitzvah velo mala oso biyom shmini." She understood that the reason for this onesh is because the zman mitzvah had been delayed, and she, it says velo mala oso, not velo mal, that she didn't do the milah to him on the eighth day. But what's strange about this is that it's not really her mitzvah. So why is she involved, and why is she recognizing that it was her? It sounds like it was her fault that she didn't do it on the eighth day. It says v'lo mala oso, but it's not really her chiyuv. In fact, look at number four.
There's no father, and he's not doing it. And you know what I mean. So is it a responsible adult supposed to do it?
I agree with you. Yeah, I agree with you. Okay, so I agree with that point. Actually,
maybe as a mom, she should have, like, been responsible for his not being punished. So she should have just taken care of.
Good.
Mitzvah.
Okay. Excellent.
For her son's sake.
Okay. So yeah, similar answers. I agree with that approach. I just want to elaborate on that, but also. Just look at number four. I just want to bring down the halacha. The halacha actually is hakol ksherin lamol vafil arel v'eved v'isha v'katan malin b'makom she'ein shamish. So anybody is chayev, not chayev, sorry, can do milah. They're kosher to do milah. Even a woman, even a katan, they can do it if there's nobody there, which is what you're saying on the phone lines, that somebody can do it if nobody is there, even though there's no chayev. In fact, they learn out the shita that holds that a woman can do milah, she's kosher. If you look at number five, it's learned out from this case. It says, "Vatikach tzipora tzor melamecha isha ksher lamo." You learn out from this case that tzipora, that a woman can do milah. And if not for this case, you wouldn't have known that. Fine, so that is the halacha. And I agree with what the people on the phone line are saying. But I just want to add one more question and then try to put those answers together. So one more question is, the chiyuv of kares really comes about when the child's older. So it seems strange also that obviously the nachash, the imagery of the nachash, of the snake, is very troublesome. What does it mean? But aside from that, why should Eliezer be killed for the milah not being done also? It seems very harsh. It's not really in line with the real onesh for milah. The onesh for milah is kares, but it only comes about once the boy is 13. Under 13, he's not chayv kares. So why was there a harsh punishment in this situation that Eliezer would be killed? So that's the second question. So there's two questions. One question is, the chi of milah wasn't on Tzipora, but yet it sounds like from Rabbeinu Chananel that it was her fault. And the second question is, that why was there such a harsh penalty on Eliezer that he would have been killed if not for the fact that that she did this milah, an emergency situation? Okay, so what's going on here? So I just want to take the two answers that were given and just elaborate on them and put it all together. I think the critical idea here is this is the beginning of Moshe's leadership. And Hashem had already instructed Moshe right before this. We saw in the Psukim, it says to go to Mitzrayim and start your mission. And Moshe was entering into the realm of leading Klal Yisrael. And this happens right before that point. So what's the purpose of this story, according to Rabbeinu Chananel? The purpose is that I believe that Tzipora had to recognize that Moshe would be incapable of performing duties in the home, performing duties, even something that would result in his son potentially being chayv kares. Moshe, he couldn't do that. He couldn't be involved because he had the mission of Klal Yisrael you know, in his mind, that was his priority. And right before this, the idea is that he's given this mission. He's told to go to Mitzrayim, and he goes to Mitzrayim, and he leaves this. Now, Tzipora had to recognize, the purpose of the story is that Tzipora had to recognize that because of Moshe's role and because of Moshe's mission, that some of his obligations in the home would be lacking. He wouldn't be able to fulfill them. And now she had to accept the responsibility of raising the children, but not just raising the children, but taking on some of the responsibilities that Moshe might have done in the home. She had to take that on herself. So I think one of the key ideas of the story is showing you that Tzipora, before Moshe goes on his leadership mission, Tzipora, as his wife, she had to accept the consequences of Moshe accepting this mission. And the consequences were that Moshe would not be able to fulfill some of his private obligations to his children, and she would have to take over in that role. And I think that's one of the, what Rabbeinu Chananel is getting at. But there's also another message, which was one of the questions, which why was it so harsh? Why was it so harsh that Eliezer would be killed if not for the Mila being done to him? But I think it also fits into Moshe Rabbeinu's role as the leader of Klal Yisrael. Because if a regular person doesn't do Mila, or if Mila is not done, it is a big deal, but it's not the same as if the leader of Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, who everybody studies and everybody, we all learn from and we all try to emulate, if in his own household a mitzvah is not kept, a critical and crucial mitzvah like Mila isn't kept, it's very dangerous for Klal Yisrael as a whole. Because you look at the leader, you also look at his family, and you judge the family. And if something's off in the family, it will affect Klal Yisrael. So there's two messages here. One message is that Tzipora had to understand that Moshe would be incapable of accomplishing certain responsibilities that he had in the home, even halachic responsibilities, because he had a priority, and his priority was to lead Klal Yisrael. But she also had to understand the gravity of the situation, that if this mitzvah Mila wasn't kept in her house, it wasn't just like a regular mitzvah's Mila not kept in a private home, but if Moshe's child wasn't Mal, it would be disastrous. It would be negative, not just for the child, but also for Klal Yisrael as a whole. But that was really Tzipora. Tzipora had to recognize her responsibility and the gravity of the situation. And that's really the purpose of the story, according to Rabbeinu Chananel, that before Moshe takes on the mission, his wife in the home had to recognize that she had to up her responsibility, and she also had to recognize what her family would now become, that it wouldn't just be a private family, but things would be scrutinized, and she had to be particularly careful with regard to mitzvahs, especially something as crucial as Mila. I was thinking of a good example. I mean, a good example, I think, is with the president, with Obama. You know, Obama's constantly, I mean, he should be busy, but he has a lot of responsibilities in terms of the world running the country, and it's his wife's responsibility to take over in the areas where he lacks because his responsibility is so important. It's in terms of the world. It's taking care of the world, taking care of America. So she, Michelle Obama, her responsibilities have to be upped. And also you see that the children of the president are scrutinized, and there's a lot of, I mean, obviously nowadays, because we have a lot of press and media, it becomes open. But also you look at the president's family and it reflects on the president himself. And even though the president's unable to be around all the time because he's busy, but still the family reflects on that point. So that's what I think that example applies over here too. And that's what Rabbeinu Chananel was saying. So it's not that Tzipora was chayiv in the Mila, but she was chayiv in the sense that now that Moshe couldn't do these things because he had to take care of his mission, the shlichus of Hashem, therefore she had to take over in that role, and she also had to recognize the gravity of the situation. Okay? So that's one approach. That's the first approach of the show. Yeah, sure.
Do you think it was kind of like a halachic thing, or it was something that he, I don't know, discussed over with Hashem, that he's now, like, did he just make this decision on his own? I mean, it's a very serious thing when you're not going to be responsible for certain mitzvahs that you're chayav in. So was it kind of like, he was in a new halakhic status kind of thing, that once you're involved in Shlichus Hashem, you're kind of putzer from doing these certain mitzvahs? So it was just like, now this was his priority. Kind of like later in life when he left Poland, and everybody looked at that, and when Miriam said something, you know, it was because of, that was, I guess, his metaphysical status at that point, that, you know, he couldn't be involved in kind of mundane things.
I mean, I'm not sure which one it is, but It's a good question. But he's definitely not, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, it's not his fault. It seems like he's not at fault. So it seems...
Right. I'm saying, but what was the, like, how did he get to that point?
I mean, it sounds like from the fact that Hashem says...
Because, or was it just that all his energies were put into this new mission and he didn't have, you know, energies into these other things, you know, family and more personal things, but he's more like this public figure.
Yeah, it could be that. It could be that, or it just seems... that's a possibility. It also just seems that Hashem told him to go back to Lech Lush of Mitzrayim, and he understood that it was an immediate necessity, and therefore he had to go, you know, and that's why it took priority in this situation. But
Right. I always thought that for some reason that he was chayv, like it was wrong of him not to do that, and Tzipora had to step up, but now you...
Yeah, that's Rashi, that's the next approach. I was giving you Rabbeinu Hananel, and I like his approach. But the Gemara seems more in line with that Moshe was at fault and that he should have taken responsibility. But Rabbeinu Hananel, he has a different idea. So I just wanted to give you Rabbeinu Hananel's idea, which I think is a nice idea. Okay, so let's go on. Let's look at Rashi now. Rashi is number 6 on the Mar Makomo sheet. Rashi says, Vayhi Moshe baderech b'malon. So different than Rabbeinu Hananel, he says that Moshe was the person here. He was involved. He didn't just leave. And he was going to this inn. Vayivakesh hamiso. Hamalach lemoshe. The malach wanted to kill Moshe. Lefi shalomal es Eliezer beno. Because he didn't do mila to his son. V'al shenis rashel nenosh misa. Because he had neglected his chiv, his obligation, therefore he was chayv misa. So that's one approach in Rashi. And Rashi is basing this on the Gemara. The Gemara is Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Tanya, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha says, Gedola Mila, Mila is great. It's a great mitzvah. Shekol Zechuyo She'asa Moshe Rabbeinu Lo Amdu Lo K'shinis Rashal Min HaMila, Shneamar Vayifkesheu Hashem Vayivakesh HaMiso. All the good things and the good merit that Moshe had built up over his career, it didn't affect his judgment. And because he was neglectful in terms of his chi of Mila, he was killed. So you see how great Mila is. That Mila is so important that even Moshe Rabbeinu could have been killed over Mila. But the question, if you look just quickly, look at number 10. I cut off Rashi because I just wanted to look at this approach first. But Rashi, number 10, he gives the other side also. It says, Tanya, Amar of Yossi, Chas v'shalom on Nisrasha. He says, no, Moshe was not in this Rashi, and then he gives a different shot. Elo Amar, Amo ve'etzel aderech. So he says, no, it can't be that you hold that Moshe was neglectful of his mitzvah, of his chiyav mila. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest individual in the history, in our history, and in the history of the world. And how could he be neglectful of this important mitzvah? So we have two shitas. We have this shita, which says, no, he was neglectful. And then the other shita in the Gemara says, no, he was neglectful, and they give a different reason. But I want to understand how it was possible that Moshe Rabbeinu missed, what did he miss about Mila? What did he not understand about Mila? And furthermore, the Gemara, and I think we'll also explain, the Gemara also gives the same shot that Rabbeinu Hananel said about the snake, but it says it in terms of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe was swallowed up by the snake, and the snake had swallowed him from the top, from the head down, and from the legs up, so that his Mila was revealed, and that's how Tzipora knew that she had to do Mila on Eliezer, and she does Mila on Eliezer. So the way that Rashi learns it and the Gemara is that really the snake had affected Moshe Rabbeinu. So I want to understand what the purpose is. Why not just tell Moshe, you know, go do the Mila, or you missed out on this Mila. What's the whole imagery and the whole idea of the Malach engulfing Moshe Rabbeinu to the point of the Mila, and then Tzipora is the one who recognizes it, and she's the one who does the Mila. Why not just tell Moshe in Nevuah, go do the Mila? You did something wrong. So why does it come out this way in the story? So we have to understand a little bit, I think, the philosophy of Mila, because the Gemara is focusing on the greatness of Mila, and Moshe Rabbeinu must have missed some aspect of Mila, and I think we have to understand what he missed, and how he was shown the importance of Mila. So what is the philosophy of Mila? Anybody know on the phone line? Just a basic idea. Why do we do Mila? Just give me one possibility. So what the purpose of Mila is? Okay. If you look at, actually, a quote of the Radak, I'll read it inside. So he says, Unimaltem, that you should do Mila. Zehu mitzvah saseh, Bein la'av shiyamos b'no, bein la'ben shiyamos atmo, kishiyye ben mitzvah im lo maloso aviv v'lo beistin. So the mitzvah is, as we said before in the Rambam, it's the same idea, that the mitzvah is on the father and also on the son to do it to himself when he's chayv in mitzvos, and if not, if the father doesn't do it, then beistin is supposed to do it. La'os bris, it's a sign of the covenant. That's the idea of milah. Yiyye la'os habris shekarati im Avraham v'im zaro acharav shiyu li la'am. That this sign, the milah, will be a sign of the bris that was consecrated with Avram and the generations after him and his offspring, that they'll be my nation. Vani ehaye lohem lelokim v'yasu mitzvosai asher atzaveosam v'ani avarchem v'ashamrim. And as a result, they will keep my mitzvos, and Hashem will bless them, and he'll guard them and protect them. V'zei yelachem le'os ul'zikaron kimo mitzvos tzitzis u'tfilin v'adomim lohem l'fi shehem l'zikaron. He compares milah to tzitzis and tefillin, that they act, that just as mitzvahs, tzitzis, and tefillin act as a reminder, so too milah is a reminder. Alval zeha os hu chazak shebekulam, shehu begufa adam shlo yezulaso. This os is the strongest os because it's in the skin, it's in the body of the man. Ulefichach, therefore, tzivo hakel beoso aver. That's why that limb was chosen. Lefisha rov ha'averos yasu al yidei oso aver. Most averos are done through that aver, through that drive. Lefisha hu rosh hataivos habehemios. It's the most instinctual drive. Ukshiyavo ha'adam la'asos avera betashmish oso aver. When a person comes to do an avera with that aver, with that limb, yira ha'os asher bo, he'll see the sign, v'yiskor mashativo ha'kel. He'll be reminded of what Hashem has commanded him. V'yimna me'asos ha'avera hi, v'lo yeh kebehema livol kol asher yimtza, el b'mutter lo ul'hasher zara ul'refua. And he won't act like an animal, and he'll only use it for heter, for something that's mutter. So the basic idea of the Radak is that milah is the first mitzvah, really the first concept of mitzvah in the Torah, which is that man has to control his drives, and the key drive is focused on that area, on that limb, is the sexual drive, and that drive has to be controlled, and milah functions to control the drive by providing man with the reminder when he's involved in that taiva. So that's the idea the Radak says about milah. And the other, there's another concept of milah that the Rambam talks about, is the idea that it creates a bond amongst the people of Klal Yisrael, and it demonstrates their commitment to Hashem, that we're all committed to Hashem, and we all have the same sign that demonstrates a commitment to Hashem. So those are some of the key ideas in milah. So once again, milah is about controlling man's drives and being reminded of keeping Torah and mitzvos, but it's mainly to control man's drives, according to the Radak, and also it's to demonstrate a commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, why did Moshe not see this, or what exactly did he miss, and what did he need? Why do we have this nachash, this whole story with the malach and the nachash, to get him, I guess, to understand what he was missing, and to get Tzipora to do the milah herself? So those are the key ideas in milah, that those are the key philosophical ideas. But there's another idea in milah, which this is something that I was thinking about. There's another idea in milah, and perhaps this fits in with the whole medrash and what Moshe needed to see or needed to understand in order to do the milah, or to recognize why he didn't do the milah. So Moshe, I believe, was more of a philosophical being. He was a philosopher and he was a thinker. And a lot of times with the mitzvos of Klal Yisrael, in terms of controlling one's desires and the need for technical mitzvos, is I would say less for the philosopher. I know there's a lot of midrashim that say that the avos kept the mitzvos, but I think some mefarshim or some ideas explain that it means that they were capable of getting the perfection of the mitzvos. A lot of philosophers, they don't really see, or it's hard for them to recognize in themselves a necessity of having a reminder or having a sign of commitment. But there's another idea in milah that would appeal to Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you look at number 9, it's by Avram. It says, Vayipol Avram al panav mimura hashchina. That Avram was in the presence of Hashem, and it says that he fell on his face. Why? Out of fear for the shchina, of the presence of Hashem. She'ad shalom mal lo hayalo bo koach la'amod. Until he did milah, he wasn't able to stand in the presence of Hashem. Veruach HaKodesh nitzavt alav. The Ruach HaKodesh was standing on him. Vezehu shenamar bevilam nofel uglui einayim. Same thing by Bilam. Because Bilam didn't have milah, he was unable to stand in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In fact, his face was to the ground, and he fell to the ground. He couldn't sustain a standing posture in the presence of Hashem. So why am I bringing this Rashi in? I'm bringing this Rashi in because there's an idea of Mila that's not just about perfecting the person's taivos. And it's not just an idea in showing commitment, but it's also, even for the philosopher, like Moshe Rabbeinu, even for him, he needs Mila in order to achieve a certain level of knowledge of Hashem, in order to stand in the presence of Hashem. And I think that's what Moshe needed to learn, and the Nachash, I think, taught him that idea. How did it teach him that idea? See, the Nachash was the Malach Hashem, and the Nachash is really swallowing him up from the top down and from the bottom up, and the only thing that is revealed is the Mila, is his Mila. And the idea is that Moshe, he was incapacitated at the time. The snake had engulfed him, and he was unable to do the Mila himself. He was unable to stand up to the presence of the Malach. He was unable to stand up in even a secondary, an indirect shliach of Hashem. He was unable, he was incapacitated by it. And the only thing that allowed him to exist in the presence of this Malach was the Mila. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw this, or this idea came about through this whole nevuah, this whole image, and Tzipor is the one who has to do the Mila because of this idea, because the idea was that Moshe was unable to do it. And the idea of Moshe being unable is that he had to recognize that he couldn't stand, just like Avram lacked in his ability to stand before Hashem, in the presence of Hashem without Mila, so too Moshe had to recognize the value of Mila, not just in terms of perfecting one's taivos and one's desires, but also the value of Mida, even for the highest philosopher, even for an Avram, even for a Yitzchak, even for himself. And he didn't understand that in himself. He didn't see this idea in himself. He didn't see the necessity of Mila in terms of his knowledge of Hashem, in terms of his ability to connect to Hashem. And the idea of the Nachash was that it demonstrated to him this necessity, the necessity of Mila to him, in terms of him and his own ability to be able to stand before Hashem. And that's the idea of the Nachash. The Nachash means that he's incapacitated. So without the Mila, he would be completely engulfed. The Mila is the only thing that allows him to even exist. But he has to be shown that idea. He has to see that idea through a nevuah, that he can't exist. He can't stand in the presence of even a malach, if not for the fact that he has Mila. So I think that explains why Moshe Rabbeinu lacked. It's not that he didn't understand the value of Mila, but in terms of himself, he didn't see how Mila affected himself. He didn't see how it affected his ability to relate to God in terms of on his level, in terms of the philosopher's level. And the idea of the Nachash was to show him that idea, that concept. I'm not 100% sure why Mila is necessary for the philosopher to stand before Hashem, but it's definitely a true idea, and Moshe needed to see this concept. Does that make sense? Is it clear? Should I repeat it?
No.
Go ahead. Question?
I have a question, though. Why do you think the Nachash? I'm thinking it has something to do with the snake in Gan Eden.
It could be. I mean, I'm open to possibilities, because I was looking at the Gemara and the Midrashim, and they don't really explain why it was a Nachash. So there's definitely an opening for possibilities as to why the Nachash. I mean, what do you think?
And it swallowed his entire body, which is like, it's like making his entire body kind of like a Nachash, kind of like.
Well, I was saying that the idea of swallowing his entire body is the idea that he's incapacitated, that he couldn't move, his legs were swallowed up, he couldn't move his arms, that he was completely passive, incapacitated, and the only thing that allowed him to exist in the presence of this malach, which was in the form of a snake, was the Mila. And so, too, he had to understand, he had to appreciate the importance of Mila in terms of the ability of even the highest level individual to stand before Hashem. That it's not just an idea in the Hamonam, but even for the philosopher, even for the great individual, Mila is necessary.
It also seems like like his body is becoming like the Nachash, like he's taking on the identity of the Nachash. Maybe that's.
It could be. I don't know. Then what's the? I don't know what the idea is. Yeah, I don't know. It could be. I'm open to possibilities. Whatever possibilities people have, I'm certainly open to. But the approach, that was the approach that I was thinking of. So we're trying to understand what did Moshe miss and what was he shown? He missed this idea, the importance of Mila for an individual like himself. And it had to be demonstrated to him the importance that he needed it in order to gain a certain connection to Hashem through the Mila. And also, so just to fit it in with the theme, and then we'll move on to the next approach, the last approach, to fit it into the theme, Moshe is also, he's about to lead Klal Yisrael. And I think all the Shitas, all the Gemaras, the Rishonim, they all take up the approach that Moshe, this story was necessary for Moshe prior to him leading Klal Yisrael. So according to this Medrash, it seems like Moshe had to have a true value of Mila on every level, on the most basic level, but also on his level, in order to be a leader of Klal Yisrael, because Mila is the most critical, one of the most critical mitzvos. It's the idea of, it's all the ideas that we said by the Radak, but it's one of the most critical mitzvot. So before Moshe is a leader of Klal Yisrael, the only way that he could lead Klal Yisrael is if he had the proper relationship to Mitzvot Mila. If he doesn't have the proper, and that's why it was Vayivakesh Amiso, that's why he's chayev to be killed in this situation, because you can't be the leader of Klal Yisrael and have some type of discrepancy and misunderstanding of such a critical mitzvah, an important mitzvah of Mila. So before he's a leader of Klal Yisrael, he has to understand this idea. He has to understand all the facets of Mila, and he has to appreciate it on a higher level in order to lead Klal Yisrael properly, in order to be the proper leader. So it wasn't just about him personally, because normally a father who doesn't do Mila, he's not Chayiv Kari, he's not Chayiv Misa, but Moshe Rabbeinu was Chayiv Misa. Why was he Chayiv Misa? Because he can't lead. He can't be the leader, and he can't fulfill the mission of Hashem if he doesn't have the proper perspective of Mila, of Mitzvot Mila. And the idea of the snake, it opened up this facet to him. It showed him that it was necessary for him to gain and to connect to Hashem. So one last idea in the Rashi. Rashi, the last idea is number 10. It says, Tanya, Amar Rabbi Yossi, Chas v'shalom lo nisrasha. It wasn't that Moshe was negligent. Ela Amar, he said, Amo v'ete l'derech. He said, I'm gonna do the Mila, and then I'll go on my path. Sakana hi latinok ad shlosh yomim. It's going to be dangerous for the tinok up to 3 days. Amo v'eshesh shlosh yomim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll wait 3 days. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzivani lech shub Mitzrayim. Hashem, he's commanding me to go back to Mitzrayim. So he's basically saying that I'm going to wait till, because it's dangerous when I'm traveling, and I'm going to wait. Umivnei ma nanosh. Why was he punished? Lefishinis asek b'malon tchila. Because he involved himself in the inn first, in his travel plans. That he involved himself in his travel plans before he did the Mila. But Maseches Nedarim, it's in Maseches Nedarim, B'hayu ha-malach nasa kemin nachash, ubolo merosho vad yarechov, which is what we mentioned before, that this malach was made into a snake, and it swallowed him from the top down to his waist, v'chozer ubolo miragla vad oso makom, hevin tzipor shebishvil ha-milahu. And that's how Tzipora understood that it was because of the Mila. And then she takes it, Vatagal Raglov, Hashlich Hasil, Lifne Raglov Shal Moshe, she throws it to the feet of Moshe, Vatomer al Bina, Ki Chasan Damim Atali. Ata Isa Gorim, Liosa Chasan Shali Nirzach Alecha, Horig Ishi Atali. She says that Eliezer could have been the cause of Moshe's death. And then it was asked before, Vayiref, what does it mean, Vayiref? Hamalach Mimenu. The Malach eased off, and the snake, it released on Moshe, Oz Havina Shal Hamila Balahorgo. And then she understood that that was the reason why this snake, this malach, came to kill Moshe. And she says again, Amra chasan damim lamulos. Chasani haya nirtzach al devar hamila. That my husband would have been killed because of the mila. So it's not that, the second approach is not that Moshe didn't want to do or didn't do mila. It's that he was delaying it and he put something before it. He was nisasek b'malon tchila. He involved himself in the malon, in his own travel plans as to where he was going to sleep before he involved himself in the Mila, and he should have involved himself in the Mila before he involved himself in the travel plans. So this is a little bit of a different approach. Before, the other approach was that Moshe was neglectful in the Mila, but here it says that it's not that he was neglectful. It sounds like he had an approach that it was sakana for the tinok, and he put his own personal private plans before that. So what's the flaw here in Moshe, and why was he potentially killed before he would lead Klal Yisrael, according to this approach?
Right, but how is this his own personal thing? Hashem told him to go and to travel, so how is this personal?
Right, I guess he had...
What personal thing did he put in front of him?
No, I guess he should have, instead of setting up his travel plans, where he was going to stop, I guess, and where he was going to sleep for the night, he should have taken care of Mila first. That's what he's saying. because he involved himself in the inn first, the inn meaning where he was going to sleep, and his own private plans as to where he was going to sleep and how he was going to get to Mitzrayim. He involved himself in that before he involved himself in the milah. So what was Moshe's flaw? So it sounds like Moshe's flaw, I think it's similar, a little bit similar to Rabbeinu Chanano. So I think Moshe's flaw was that he was told to go down to Mitzrayim, and he maintained that setting up his travel plans and where he was going to sleep was part of fulfilling his mission to go down to Mitzrayim. And he viewed the idea, the milah of his son, to be a more of a private matter, to be something that was, you know, was his own personal obligation, but he was putting, you know, his obligation as the, I guess, his priority, what we said before, his priority was to lead Klal Yisrael. He's putting his mission and this aspect of his mission before his obligation to do milah to his child. So the issue, I think, what's the flaw here and what's going on? I think the issue is that Moshe had to have an understanding that he would have to be a public figure, and he couldn't separate, he was trying to separate his mission from his private life, and he was creating a priority system. Oh, I'm going to put my mission first, and then I'll take care of my private life. But the idea is that with Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no such thing. His private life was lost. Whatever he did in his household and whatever his obligations were, they were not just for him and not for his children, but they were also for Klal Yisrael. And they would be judged by the people, by Klal Yisrael as a whole, similar to what Rabbeinu Chanano was saying. So the whole idea of Moshe Rabbeinu and why he was potentially killed at this point is that he put the Malon first. That he was choosing, or he maintained that choosing the mission of leading Klal Yisrael came before choosing to do milah on his son, but he didn't recognize the idea that doing milah to his son was part of the mission. It was part of him leading Klal Yisrael. He could not be a successful leader of Klal Yisrael unless he took care of his obligation of milah to his child, to his son. And the fact that he maintained that he could separate the two was the issue. And that was the flaw that he had, and that's why he was encompassed by this nachash and potentially killed. Because if Moshe Rabbeinu, as the leader of Klal Yisrael, could not recognize that he was now a public figure and that every decision that he made would now be part of his mission and part of his identity and his role, if he could not recognize that, then he deserves to die. He deserves to not be the leader of Klal Yisrael. He cannot be the appropriate leader of Klal Yisrael without recognizing that fact. And another example I was thinking of is with celebrities nowadays. A lot of the celebrities, I think, complain about the media exposure, you know, the paparazzi, that they're constantly taking pictures. But the idea is that if you're a celebrity, you have to recognize that once you get into that role, that, you know, the limelight, your life is going to be open. And whatever you do always has to be with a mindset of, you know, this is a public action. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was the same idea. Moshe Rabbeinu had to recognize when in taking the role of leader of Klal Yisrael and bringing them out of Mitzrayim, he also had to recognize that his private obligations to his family, to his children, in terms of over here by Mitzvah Milah, that they weren't just private, but they also affected his ability to lead, and they affected the perception of him as a leader. So he didn't understand that, he missed out on that, and therefore this whole idea of the snake was present to demonstrate that it was the milah that was the cause of this. And eventually Tzipora has to take over, and she's the one who does the milah because of the whole nevuah over here, because of the whole idea that he was incapacitated at the same point. Okay, does that make sense? Is it clear? Should I repeat it?
Yeah.
I should repeat it?
So why didn't he come back, or, you know, be the one who was in charge of the
Mila.
You know what I mean?
That's a good question. I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, why didn't he do it? Or why did the Malach do it in a way where he was incapable of doing it himself? That's a good question. I mean, maybe it was showing it just to...
But then when he had these recognitions and he realized, like, you know...
It sounds like from the story that it was an emergency.
Like,
and she
should have done it. That would have showed that it... You know, he made
right, but I think the idea is to demonstrate the severity of the situation, that he couldn't do it and he was basically going to be killed if not for this idea. So if he did it, if he was able to do it, then I guess the severity of the situation wouldn't be recognizable. But the fact that he was almost killed by the snake, by this malach, and he's potentially going to die and somebody else has to do it, it should demonstrate to him it's similar to Rabbeinu Chananel, the severity of him attempting to separate his private life from his public life, that could potentially lead to his death, and that could have led to his death over here in this situation.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so
proof, but we don't have any riot through the Pesukim that he had this realization, because she was the one who did the Mila in the end.
Yeah, but he was, being swallowed up by a snake. And
he eventually had this.
Yeah, I mean, he was being swallowed up by the snake at the time, and it was obviously, I think, recognizable to him, this idea that he could have died. I think that's important. The Malach, it says, Vayif Kishayu Hashem L'Hamiso. So Moshe understood that the fact that the snake had swallowed him up, that he could have died, and that this flaw is so severe, because of his role as leader of Klal Yisrael, this flaw is so severe that he could potentially have been killed as a result of this. And if not, that's why you needed the Nachash and the Malach to swallow him up. That's why he couldn't do it. He couldn't do the Mila. And Tzipora has to save him from that situation. Okay, let me just go over the ideas quickly. There's really just three main approaches that we gave to explain the area. One is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel kind of takes Moshe out of the whole picture and says that it was mainly an idea in Tzipora, that Tzipora had to pick up the slack for Moshe's inability to be involved because of his mission. It's the opposite of what Rashi was saying, that he couldn't be involved because of his mission, and Tzipora had to recognize this idea. And she also had to recognize the severity of, if her family, if Mitzvah's meal wasn't done in her family, that it wouldn't just affect her and her child, but it would affect Klal Yisrael, because the family of the leader is always scrutinized, as the leader is. So that's the first idea. The second idea was, what idea did Moshe miss about Mila? Or what did he need to see in order to be involved in this? So the point was that Moshe had to see Mila as a benefit to a person like himself, to a philosopher, a person who doesn't need technical mitzvot necessarily to demonstrate commitment. But Moshe Rabbeinu had to see that even for him to stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wouldn't be able to if not for the Mila. The Mila was necessary for him. And only once he saw that could he have an appreciation, a full appreciation of Mila, and therefore lead Klal Yisrael. If he didn't have that, then it was appropriate for him to die. He couldn't be the leader of Klal Yisrael. He had to be replaced by somebody else. So the second approach is an idea of Moshe understanding the value of Mila in a full sense, in terms of, not just in terms of the basic philosophy, but in terms of himself and seeing it as a value in himself. And the last idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu was involved, and Moshe Rabbeinu had to understand as a father, and in terms of his private life, that he could not separate his private life from his public life, and that now he had to make decisions always with the mindset of, I'm the leader of Klal Yisrael, and whatever my decisions are will affect Klal Yisrael as a whole. And that's the second approach in Rashi, that because he put his travel plans before the Mila, that's why he was subject to death. That the flaw of him not being able to recognize that his private life was public was dangerous. It was dangerous to the point where he could have been replaced as a leader, and he had to recognize that also as well. So that's the last idea in Rashi. Okay, so that's really the shiur tonight. And I hope everybody has a good week and a good Shabbos. And we'll take it up next week. Anybody have any questions at this point?
No, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Everybody have a good night.
Thank you.
Hey, yeah.
All right.
Have a good night.
Hello, hey,
can I say one thing?
Have a good night.
Hello? Yeah. Hey, I wanted to say that was a really great tour.
Thank you.
Can I ask one question?
Sure.